Amen. I got a few minutes. Ain't going to take me long. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for Jersey Day. Hallelujah. I'm gonna keep it sacred, though. Pray the Lord, keep it holy. I ain't gonna mess with y'all too much. But we have been in a series of messages teaching about the favor of God. We just came out of our series teaching about living in God's favor. How many enjoyed that series?
Amen.
Living in His favor. We want to live in His favor. Amen. We don't just want to have His favor but not live in it. You know, God's favor is for the people of God to live in that favor, to experience that favor, not to just hear that favor sung about, not to just hear that favor taught about, not to just hear that favor preached about, not to just even hear that favor prophesied to you about. You're supposed to be living in that favor. Yeah, look at somebody and say, I'm living in the favor of God. Yeah, I'm living in it. I mean, I'm living in it. Look at somebody and say, I'm living in God's favor. Yeah, God's favor is upon you. He's wanting you and I to live in it. The unforced rhythms of grace is what the Message Bible said in Matthew's chapter 11, verse number 29. The unforced rhythms of grace, you know, learning how He do it. Yeah, learning how He do life. See, we've came to the conclusion, I have at least, that me doing it my way, I'm just tiring myself out. I'm getting worn out. Yeah, I'm getting worn out. And then, you know, I'm burnt out on religion. I'm showing up. I'm not just burnt out. Can I tell y'all how I feel about religion? I'm just sick of it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, literally. I'm just sick of, I'm really sick of the religious routines that I found myself going through without producing any results. I refuse to be saved, you know, all these years and don't experience everything God has for me. I'm not going to go to heaven and say I couldn't wait to get here to get what God had. No, I'm going to go to heaven and say it was so good on earth, my Lord, heaven is even better. See, I'm not trying to leave the earth to get to heaven because I can't get what God wants me to have on earth. And then hide behind that confession. God got some things for you right here on this planet. There's some things you're supposed to be doing right now that God's favor is on your life for you to do it. Right now. There's opportunities that God is making available to a lot of you. You just got to be sensitive enough to walk in the door when the door opens and don't be fearful. And stop letting people tell you what you can and cannot do. Stop letting people tell you where you can and where you cannot go. Stop letting people tell you how much money you can make. Look at somebody and say, this is my favorable year. And I'm getting it all. Come on, make the confession. I don't care if Lynn in your pocket. Say this. Say, this is my favorable year. And I'm getting it all. See, you got to defeat what your head is saying and respond to what's in your heart. Because your head trying to defeat you. But your heart knows something different than happened in me. I'm not the same person that I was in 2014. There's a shift that has taken place in my life. Yeah, why? Because my situations do not determine my identity. I know who I am in Christ, the anointed one, and His anointing. If you would, go to Genesis chapter number 26, verse 3 through 5. Second Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 6 through 8. Genesis chapter number 26, verse 3 through 5. And as we've been talking about favor and how the favor of God is God's power, influence, resources that is released on our lives, as well as God's favor, power, resources that He uses to get somebody else to do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. God moves on people to do something for you because the resources belong to God. It's His. It's His stuff. So whatever He decided to do with it, He can do it because He owns it. We're only caretakers. We're only stewards of it. That's why sometime when you're asleep and sometime when you're walking around or at work, God will start talking to you about somebody. Right. Yeah, and then he get really deep. He'll start talking to you about somebody, about something that you got.
Wow.
Because He can do that because He's the owner. Yes. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So God is the owner. He's the proprietor. He owns the earth.
Wow.
He owns the earth, but He has extended His ownership to His children. That's why we're not just stewards, we're owners with stewardship responsibility.
Yes.
See, the earth have He given to the sons of men. He extended His ownership. Why? Because He owned it. He can do whatever He want to do with it. He can extend it to whoever He want to extend it to. He can give a power of attorney to whoever He want to get power of attorney to, because it belongs to Him. He's the designer. He's the manufacturer. He's the creator of it. So whatever God want to do with it, He can do it. That's why He can talk to you about the stuff He gave you and tell you to give it to somebody else. Just to see whether or not you're going to be obedient so He can give you more. If you decide that you don't want to give it to them and do what God tell you, then God says, I can't trust them, so I just let them keep that little bit. They can't get the lot that I got. I know that was fast, but let me go back through it again. I let them keep that little bit so that they can't get the lot that I have for them. I let them keep, you know, that little bit of, you know, $2, and they can't get the $1,000 I got. Because it belonged to me anyway. I'm only asking for what. Okay, let me put it on these parents' level. Your children, you give your children an allowance. Uh-huh. You give your children a allowance, or you give them some money. Your birthday come up, and they buy you a gift with the money you gave them. Okay, come on, you gonna get the concept after a while. Okay, you give them an allowance, or you give them some money. Your birthday come up, and they buy you something with the money you gave them. Who did the money belong to in the first place?
Go ahead.
So they're only doing something for you with what you gave them.
Uh-huh.
It did not belong to them. So what God does, He will give you stuff and then ask you for it. To see whether or not you will obey Him in order for Him to give you more of what you gave. And we be trying to keep it. And God say, I want it because I have more. In Genesis chapter number 26, verse 3 through 5. And I'm reading in the Amplified, I believe. Yeah, I'm reading in the Amplified, so it'll read a little different. I may go to the New King James. Just to kind of balance it off, but I'm gonna be doing some giving you some scriptures now because we're going into a new series, and you know I want to build a good foundation. So be patient with me, okay? I want to build a good foundation. In Genesis chapter number 26, verses 3 through 5, I believe 3 through 5, it says in the Amplified, it says, "Dwell temporarily in this land." Now, this is God talking to Abraham's promised son, Isaac, who really was Abraham's second born. Ishmael was, if you know the story, was Abraham's firstborn, but he was born from the servant of his wife, Sarah. But Abraham had Ishmael first. And Isaac was the son in whom God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have together. But time went between them having the child that God promised. And you know how it is when God promises something and there's time between that. How many can identify with what I'm talking about? He promises something, but then it's some time. between him actually doing what he promised you. So that time between him actually doing what he promised requires you and I to walk by faith and not by sight. Because we have the promise, we just haven't received the manifestation. So time went between him receiving the promised child, and because time sometimes wear and tear on us, time pushed Abraham and pushed Sarah, pushed them to do something that God did not tell them to do. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have been there before? How many did that last year and the year before and the year before that and the year before that? And you may be doing some of it right now. Well, you decided, you know, okay, God promised me this. God said this to me, whether he prophesied it or I saw it in the Bible or the pastor was teaching on it. I heard it, but what have been taught have not materialized in my life. And so I need to do something because I done told all these people what the Lord said. So I need to do something. I need to come up with something. I need to manufacture something. I need to fabricate something real quick to save my face. So you know the story. Abraham, you know, decided, you know, that, you know, he was going to obey his wife because his wife suggested that he get with Hagar, you know, who was the servant girl. And it's strange, you know, I'm scouting the room and I know, man, I know that ain't going to happen in our community. That just ain't going to happen. That just ain't going to be no suggestion. That ain't going to even be no talk. You know, all this stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, all this stuff they call swinging and all that. See, I when I first heard it, I'm like, I say swinging. I thought they were talking about, you know, swinging on something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, literally. Now, but actually, I used to think it was the Lord. You know, everything we put on the Lord when that kind of stuff. But really what it is a draft that comes from that door being open. When that door opened right back there, or some door, it really does. The draft goes around and open that door. And if you don't have that lock on it, that door gonna open. So it ain't the Lord. See, you know, everything, you know, that's how, you know, coming up in the old church, man, they would call everything the Lord. But, you know, once I found out what was going on, I said, oh, that ain't the Lord. You know, and somebody, you know, mystical and somebody, you know, thinking, you know, a little negative, oh, the Lord might be trying to shut the preacher up. No, he ain't. You see, because there's something that need to be said. But so here you have this period of time that go by. And they decided that they're going to help God out with the promise. You know the story. You try to help God out all the time with his promise for your life.
Amen.
God said he's going to do something in your life. It don't happen in the time period that you think it should happen. What you do? You go do something on your own. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, God is saying he's going to, you know, do something for you, you know, in the company that you're working in. And, you know, 10 years done went by. 5 years done went by, and it ain't happened yet, you go off and get you another job. Now, I want you to listen to this because, you know, some interesting things happen in the scripture. And just listen to it because I'm going to talk a little bit. It's not going to be a whole lot of shouting, but I'm going to talk a little bit because you got to get this stuff, the word of God, you got to get this stuff down in your heart. You have to get, I told you, principles are something that you live by that allows you to get the things that God have for you. There's principles you have to live by, you know, in order for him to, you know, release the things that he have for you. So they decide they're going to make their own child, get their own child. And then once they get, the child from, you know, Hagar, then, man, Sarah had to be. Sarah, I got to come down here. Because, you know, I know Sarah. See, because I know my sisters, and y'all be shaking them necks, and, you know, I can't do it, but you know how the sisters, they shaking them necks, and, you know, all that. Nah, what you talking about, man? You know? So now here you go. She was the one suggested. Abraham, being a man, do exactly what his wife say. Sister Tiffany said we're glad to. She said it, I didn't. So he decided he going to do what she said, get involved with her. She conceived. Now, Hagar, she got the baby. Sarai don't have the baby. So she somewhat got the upper hand around the house. Everybody catering to Hagar. Because she got the baby. You know how folk is about babies. Babies change the whole environment of a house. Everybody catering around the baby. The baby ain't even came in the world yet. And they, ooh, look at him. You can't even see him. You see? So, yeah, you can't. Ooh, she going to be so cute. You can't even see the baby. I can tell how she fold up in you. You understand? See, all this kind of talk is going on. So you can't. Now, see, the Bible don't get into the details most of the time because the Bible tries to allow us to see the principle, to see the storyline. See, the Bible gives us the storyline of what's going on. It don't give us behind the scene because the storyline is to get you thirsty enough so that you will search the scripture to find the principle that is being operated. So, she talking trash. Hagar, the bondwoman, is talking trash in Sarah's house. That's not going to work. So Sarah say, get rid of her. See, I don't want to be graphic, but you know, get rid of the heifer. See, I got to come where we are so we can get a full understanding of what. She not talking about get rid of baby. You know, she kind of causing some problems around here. You know, we just can't put up with nobody acting like this around the house. I know she expecting your son, but we can't. No, get rid of the heifer. Get rid of her. She got to go. I don't know where she going at, but her and little Wayway got to get up out of this house. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? You know. Take her and her child. Yeah, both of them. I don't know where they're going at, but they got to get out up here. So you got to understand, all this stuff is going on, and God's promise, God's favor is still working. No different from your life. You got crisis in your life. You got situations in your life. You got circumstances in your life. You got some problems you created, and you are being haunted by those problems even right now. But you know, Sarah, hey, get her out. She got to go. Now, I ain't telling her, I'm telling you. Because you know they walking by one another, mean mugging one another. Yeah, you know she ain't smiling at her. Yeah, she was my maid. That's, I guarantee, she was my maid. She's not my maid now. Because now she's toning me. Yeah, now she's strutting. Saying, And you know, and while Abraham ain't looking, she going, come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. Come on, follow me, church. Come on, follow me now. Come on, don't just look at the storyline. Come on, let's go into the details. You know she mocking her. I got him. Look at me. Look at you. And listen, and they tell me it's impossible for you. That's what the women saying around the tent. Come on, I'm going to go. Y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. That's what they saying around the church. Come on, you ever have folk whispering about you, and you know they whispering about you? But you got the Holy Ghost now. Y'all ain't going to talk to me here. So you ain't responding to them like you would when you first came out the hood. They whispering. Let me move on, man. So you got Isaac here, who is the product of a promise. Ishmael, the product of a problem. Come on, you got to understand. See, I'm going to teach this thing, man, because you're going to get it. Isaac is the product of a promise. Ishmael is the product of a problem. Isaac, the product of a promise. Ishmael, the product of a problem. Do you have any products in your life that came as a result of a problem? And then you got some things in your life that came as a result of a promise. And the promise and the problem fighting. Up to this day, they fighting. Right now. But here's Isaac. The story picks up Isaac. Isaac now is in the land of the Philistines. And a famine comes. And God tell Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Don't go down to Egypt like your father did. When the famine came during the time of Abraham, Abraham went to Egypt because Egypt was somewhat like America. It was a superpower, you know. And when folk, you know, folk do it right now today, if you have a problem in another country, man, they're trying to get to America. While we talking about America, you got folk wishing they was here. While we talking about how bad it is, you got folk will put their life on the line to get here. Yeah. Am I telling the truth, Brother Rick and Sister Diane? They went on a cruise, sent me some pictures. You got some folk out there on some styrofoam stuff and got a raft. Am I right? On a raft and got, I mean, they trying to get to America. While we're complaining, folk trying to get here. So here you got Isaac. Here you got Isaac here during a famine. And God give Isaac some specific instructions. This is what he tell him. He says, verse number 2, same chapter 26, he said, then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. Don't go to America. Don't go where you think the help is. Don't switch jobs. Don't switch companies. Don't switch houses. Ooh, I'm finna get in there. God, I'm about to get into something. Don't switch husbands. Don't switch wives because there's a famine. Don't abandon your house because there's a famine. Don't abandon your children because there's a famine. Don't quit on this one here. God say, I got better intentions for you. Yeah, a lot of you wanted to quit on some things last year. But favor say, I got some better stuff for you. Don't quit on them. Look at somebody and say, don't quit this year. Tell them, say, God got something better for you. Yeah, I don't care how it looked like on the outside. There's some things God is stirring up in your life that is about to bring you a rain of abundance. Look what he says here now. He says, then he appeared to him and said to him, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. He said, don't go. Favor working now. So he's like, don't go to Egypt. Live in the land that I shall tell you. Stay where you are. Don't move. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. Go where I tell you. See, favor, when God is working favor in your life, it's very important that you have an ear to hear when he's talking. You can't have everybody trying to tell you what the Lord said. You got to have a single ear. That's what sometimes I believe causes us as believers a lot of problems because we're hearing too many voices. We got too many advisors in our lives. And we got advisors that are not proven, advising us about things they haven't accomplished themselves. Telling you how to do something they haven't done. And we haven't learned how to shut out those voices because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You can't tell me how to be a millionaire if you don't have $1 million. Praise the Lord. So he says, live in the land of which I will tell you. Then verse number 3, he say, dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands. He said, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. He said, stay in this land. And he said to him, I will bless you. Now that word bless is the word favor. He said, I will favor you. Stay where I tell you to go and you'll get my favor. If you don't go where I tell you, you won't get my favor. You won't get my power. You won't get my influence. You won't get my resources. If you don't go where I tell you to go, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you're not going to get what I have for you. See, we think it's about doing for him, and it's more about responding to him. Just doing exactly what he tells. If he tells you to go get on the roof, sit on the roof for 30 minutes, stay there. Because sitting on that roof is attracting what he has for you. It do not look good. It don't make no sense. But it's connected to what God told you to do. So he tell him, he say, stay here. Stay right here. He said, and while you're there, I'm going to favor you. I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you my influence. But if you move, you don't get it. That's why this season you got to be very sensitive to his voice and whatever he tell you to do, whether he tell you by teaching, whether he tell you in your private time and he speak to you and you know it's God and it lines up with the word of God, you got to be sensitive to it because everything that God says to you carries his favor. And if you ignore it, then you won't get a chance to experience it again. Okay? All right? So he says to him, he said, listen, in the Amplified, say, dwell temporarily in this land, and I will be with you and will favor you with blessings. Now, let me say, favor you with blessings. Now, the blessings he's talking about is not spiritual blessings, but he's talking about natural blessings. He said, I'm about to materialize some stuff in your life that you can touch. Okay? Look what he says here. He said, for to you and to your descendants, I will give all these land. All the land. Can you see land? Okay, can you see? Okay, look outside. Can you see that dirt out there? He said, I'm about to give you some stuff visible. I'm about to give you some stuff you can see. Yeah, look what he says right here now. Look what he says. He said, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants to multiply as the stars of the heavens. I'm going to give you increase. He said, and will give to your posterity all these lands or kingdoms. He said, by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He said, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to give to them. But then they're going to bless the earth. Yeah, they're going to bless the planet. Yeah, they're going to do something that's going to change the course of time. Now, look what he said here, and I'm just about done. For Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. He said, now your father listened to me. See, when he started when in the Amplified, it mentioned the commandments, the charges, and my statutes, and my law. I'm like, what no laws in existence during that time? You know, for structured laws, you know, for his constitutions and things of that nature, you know, God didn't give constitutions until he made Israel a nation. Then he gave them moral laws, civil laws, you know, things of that nature. But here he say, Abraham obeyed my law. But what he was saying, Abraham listened and responded to what I said. Whatever I told him to do, Abraham did exactly that and no more. He did it. Even when he chose to do something different in his heart, he was trying to please me. Now, that's what confused a lot of people. Have you ever chose to do something, you know, and it was a little, you know, out of, you know, your character, but in your heart, you was doing it in efforts to please God. It just wasn't what he told you to do. Okay? So here you have, you know, Isaac at this place where God is saying, if you do what I tell you to do, favor is going to hit your life. Uh-huh. Right. Now, in verse number 6, he said, so Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now, in the Hebrew, it says Gerar. But in the English, it's Gerar. So he stayed in Gerar. Now, look what happened right here. Look what happened. Go to verse number 12. Verse number 12 through 14. Look what happened. He stayed there in Gerar. And, you know, if you read the other verses, it talks about, you know, he was there with the Philistine. And, you know, he had told the same kind of lie that his daddy told, that, you know, Rebekah, you know, was not his wife. She was his sister. You know, then Abimelech seen him outside caressing his wife. Wow. He couldn't keep his hands off of her. You know, he, you know, you ever lied but couldn't back up your lie with the right actions? You know, here he is saying, this is my sister, but they catch him out there. He's, you know, caressing his wife, rubbing on her shoulders, kissing her, hugging her. You understand what I'm saying? Doing what you don't supposed to do with your sister. So Abimelech called him in and said, hey, I know this is not your sister. Because how you out there, see, can I just talk to you all? And I know this is going on, see this, but I got to talk to you in a way that you can relate to it. You out there tonguing her. Now, my problem with folk in church, when I say something like that, ooh, I can't believe he said tongue in church. You look at it on TV. If you're looking at scandal, you're looking at more than tongue. And if you show up looking at empire, don't y'all get me started up in here. And not only are you looking at it, children, listen to me. Not only are you looking at it, some of you are experimenting in it to see how it works. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me anymore. So you got him out there busting slob. That's what we used to say. That's way back in the day. And so Abimelech says, there is no way that this can be your sister. Do you know the guilt you could have brought upon us as a people if one of my men would have laid with her? You got favor, Isaac, but you're making some serious mistakes because you got favor, but you're compromising your character. You're compromising your integrity. So he say, you could have caused a lot of people to be in trouble. And then the Bible says, the next thing that Isaac did after this was, verse number 12, then Isaac sowed seed in that land. Now underline that, because we talked about living in God's favor. This month we're talking about giving in God's favor. Giving in God's favor. Talking about living in his favor, and that's important. You got to live in it. You have to personally experience it. But this month, we're talking about giving in his favor. Giving in his favor. Now, notice, God told Isaac, he said, listen, I'm going to favor you. I'm going to bless you, son. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to do everything that I promised Abraham I was going to do for him. I'm going to do it for you. Because Abraham died before all of it could come to pass. That's why a promise of God that you receive don't just affect you, but it affects several generations after you. Your children's children. That's why you can't be thinking, you know, that Jesus is going to come, you know, any day now. Because there's too much that God may want to do in your life before he arrives. And if you're thinking he's going to come, you're about to shortchange yourself. And you're going to be up in heaven if you die prematurely up in heaven. And God's going to be like, what you doing up here? Somebody tell you to come up here? What in the world are you doing up here? You're supposed to be down there doing. You're supposed to have your own business by now. And you up in here talking about, I want to be with the angels. God, like, what are you doing here? Now, I know this contradicts some people, you know, theology, because folk want to scare you into heaven. They want to make you think you're about to run out of time Abraham lived up until 175 years and was still having babies. Come on, you're not going to talk to me. He lived up to 175 years and having babies at 160. And then the Bible said when Abraham got ready to die, the Bible said that Abraham didn't have any pain, said his body wasn't even feeble. The boy knew who everybody was. And the Bible said, and Abraham just went to sleep. And you telling me that God don't want you to get every single thing that he has appointed for your life before you leave this world. And you got folk teaching and preaching. Come on, Jesus is soon to come. He better not come because a lot of us are going to be in trouble when we get to heaven. Because we haven't done half of what God called us to do. And you talking about Jesus coming. He better not come right now. Because you're going to be in trouble because you ain't done. And if God is going to judge you based on what you've done for the kingdom. Come on, Selah, think about it. Based on what you've done for the kingdom. How much have you done for the kingdom that satisfies God? Not for yourself. What have you contributed to the kingdom of God that brings him satisfaction? And you're talking about Jesus is about to come. Jesus is on his way. He ain't on his way because it don't take him long to get here. See, all this traditional way of thinking, all this stuff you done heard in church, oh, you're going to hell. Ah, you're doing this to hell. Ah, Jesus only taught 5% about hell. 95% was about the kingdom. We're trying to scare folk into heaven and they got worse. Worse. Folk are worse now in church than they ever have been. And we've been preaching all these hell messages and it's like water on a duck bite. Why? It's not the right message. The wrong message. We think we can scare. Please. Folk don't go through that sensation but a little while, just like a horror movie. You got to tell some folk something that the word of God say that relate to their lives. I don't want you to go to hell before your time. I don't want you to go to hell at all. I'm trying to empty out hell. The Bible says hell is enlarging itself. Well, doggone it, I'm going to put it.
Come on.
I'm going to call it the shrink. Why? Because I have a message of the kingdom that benefits your life. All you got to do is embrace it. All you got to do is receive it. And every single thing that God said in his word will begin to happen in your life. The Bible says Isaac sowed seed in all of this controversy. A famine, lying, compromising his integrity, not being honest, not being honorable to the leader of that country. All of this, and in all of this, the Bible says, and Isaac sold. He sold. And he didn't go somewhere else to do it. He sowed seed in all of that controversy. He sowed seed in all of that controversy. How many times you have been under attack and been in some controversial situations in your life and God challenged you to give? And you say, I can't give because of this. I can't do it because of that. I got too much going on in my life, God, as if he don't already know it. He already know what you got going on in your life. That's why he told you to sow. Because what's going on in your life, listen to this, is temporal. But listen to this, it have the potential to be permanent if you don't do anything about it. A seed, in this particular instance where he said he sowed versus giving, the word sow means to impregnate. to cause to expand. Women know what that is when you get pregnant, what you do. You just, that is in you is causing you to be a little come on, talk to me, ladies. I don't know what it is because I ain't never been through it. I ain't intending on it. It's very uncomfortable. Why? Something is growing in you. Okay, now listen. When you sow a seed, something began to grow in you. A harvest began to begin, listen to this, its development. So while that seed is growing, listen to this, becoming something different than its original form. Because the seed you put in the ground is not what come up out the ground.
Right.
So it's becoming something. Isaac sowed a seed in a famine land during a drought where there wasn't much water being released from heaven. He had to be just insanely in love with God or just crazy. Because it didn't make any sense to sow seed during a famine. You didn't sow seed when there was no rain. When you didn't even see any rain coming. And here's the ground deep. You be putting some seed in a field, don't you?
Yes.
But you ain't going to put no seed in a field where it's just dry, no nothing. Am I right?
Right.
Deep bring me peas. Oh, yeah. The best peas you can get out of. The best. I mean, oh, Lord, it'd be good. But you got to sow it in the right field, right?
That's right.
It's got to have some kind of moisture or something on the way, don't it?
Moisture got to be in the ground.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Now listen to what he said. Say it again.
Moisture got to be in the ground.
Moisture got to be in the ground. I got some more farmers out there. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Is it true? How many more farmers I have out here, people that, so see, is that true? Got to have some moisture in the ground. If there's no moisture in the ground, there's not a chance for that seed to survive. Got to have some moisture. Now, he told him, I want you to stay right here. Don't you move. You better not go nowhere else and try to do nothing. If you do, I'm not going to be with you. So Isaac obviously developed a principle of living from his father. He decided, man, if all else fail, I can try to plant some seed. I know the ground don't look right, but God told me to stay here. And if he told me to stay here, I got to generate something. I got to become industrious. Listen, I got to work with what I got. Wow. Got to work with what I got. I got to work with what I got. I can't be going all over town looking for something that I already got. I got to work. Look at my saying, you have to work with what you have. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stop trying to impossibly get things done on your own. Use what you got. Because God did not leave you without nothing. I told folks, if I don't have a, I can't sell this now. This is my wedding ring. No. Won't put that on the altar. The devil's a lie. But I got some jewelry I don't even wear. And I already said, if I ever get where I ain't got no seed, I'm bringing the jewelry. Put it on the altar, Sister Faye, y'all gonna have to pawn it. Because I ain't going to the pawn shop no more. I used to. But y'all go, y'all stop. But what I'm saying is, listen, what I'm saying, I'm going to get a seed in the ground. Why? Because seed is not intended to be used for nothing else. But to sow, you don't use it for nothing else. You don't supposed to put it in your mouth. You don't supposed to put it on your back.
Come on.
Okay, I'm finna get somebody. This real. You don't supposed to pay no bill with your seed.
Come on.
Not with your. Listen, Not with your, not your seed. You don't take your seed to pay the bill. Okay. Isaac was renting his land, right? He's renting his land because the land don't belong to him. The land belongs to the king. You got to understand how a kingdom works. The land don't belong to Isaac. The land belongs to the king. He's renting it. He could say, well, I ain't got but so much corn. Let me take this corn, see what he has changed this corn. And let me use this corn to pay for my rent. No. He said, I got to put this corn where it goes. This corn go in the ground in order for a principle to start working. What is a principle? Systematic way of doing things that produces a certain result. I got to put the seed in the ground because seed goes in the ground, not in my pocket. Are we listening? It goes. See, just think now. All the years you put the seed on something else, and guess what has happened? It wasn't able to produce what God says it will produce if it's in the right environment. The seed do not go to belts. belts is not where your seed. You don't take your seed and buy a shirt. Come on. I'm trying to teach you now. You don't take a seed and go buy Burger King. Well, I ain't got the $5. I'm going to eat after church. Shoot, think I'm going to sow this seed. Well, go ahead and eat your seed then. Guess what? You'll be living off Burger King. You'll never be able to go anywhere else other than Burger King. Because you put your seed in the wrong place. Seed go in the ground. Now look, when he tell you to sow it, he's not telling you to sow it without the intentions, write this down, to grow it. If he tells you to sow it, it's with the intentions to grow it. For something to change the course of your life. A seed changes the course of your life. Look what it did for Isaac. The Bible did not say Isaac had any money at this time. The Bible did not say Isaac had any possession at this time. The Bible didn't say it. Didn't mention it. He probably had some, few people, few servants. He probably had a few things. But the Bible didn't say it. The Bible said he sowed seed. When he sowed seed in that land, and the Bible say, in the same year, 100 times as much as he had planted. In the same year, he received 100 times more than what he had planted. Now, how is it? Now, help me, farmers. Man, 100 times, that's a lot of stuff, ain't it? I mean, that's a lot of produce. That's a lot of cropping. That's a lot of land. So here he is in the same year, not the year after, in the same year he get 100 times more than what he put in the ground, Lord Jesus. So now, guess what he has to do? He got to employ some folk to help him. Now, I told you the person who know how will also always work for the person who know why. Isaac becoming why. And the people of the land becoming how. So here it is. He reaps 100 times more, and look what happened. And I'm done. Look what happened. It's almost 12. I'm done. Look what happened. The Bible says, this is the Amplified. The Bible says that as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings. Okay, remember, blessing is talking about material stuff here now. He favored him with something he can see. It's not talking about spiritual. You got the tongues down. You got the laying on of hands down. Some of you. Yeah. You got the singing. All that, you got that down. Got it. You know how to, you got the church part down. Got it. Worship, you got it. Got that worship. We can worship, we can sing, we can get in the presence of God. But the material thing is what the devil has tortured the church with. Let them get happy. Let them get excited. Let them have a good time in church. Let some folk get delivered. You know, they get delivered. Praise the Lord, because we want folk delivered now. We want folk healed. But when you get healed, when you get delivered, you got to have some money. See, when I said, long as I wasn't using that word money, it was okay. Long as I was saying seed, that was, you know, y'all was like, I got you. We with you, Pastor. But when I said money, your pocketbook start talking to you. Your wallet start talking to you. Your bank account start talking to you because I said something that your mind is programmed to reject in this setting. In this setting, your mind is programmed to reject the subject of money in church. Talk about money anywhere else, but don't you say money in church. That's an evil word. Yeah, I'm talking about we have to be honest now. And I'm being honest with you. I'm not telling you something I haven't experienced myself. You know, talk about healing. Talk about delivery. Talk about the car. Talk about the house. But don't you say nothing. I'm talking about no money. Because money then challenges me to do something that only I can do for myself. Now, he says, after the seed was sown, certain things begin to happen. After the seed was sown. See, you can pray, and you can plead, and you can ask, but there are material things in this earth that's not going to manifest until you sow. Boy, I can see. I'm looking at you. You know why I'm looking at your face? You know I tell y'all, I love y'all. So I need a camera. I need a monitor so they can see. I need the camera be focusing down. No, I'm serious, because you got to understand what I'm talking about. When I say certain things, you can see on your expression, but you're like. But you know what? I've been your pastor for 10 years. I know you now, so I love you regardless of that. But I got to get this truth to you. Yeah, because you know, you got to sow them seed. Because prayer is not going to get you wealth. Prayer warrior, you can be a prayer warrior, be in front of God all day long, all night long. But ain't going to get you no money. Prayer will not get you any money. Prayer is not designed for money. You can pray. You can sing. You can sing, man. You got some folk that can sing. They hearts out. They broke, though. Listen, you can preach your heart out. Sweat. Preach. Folk get saved. Folk get delivered. Folk go home free. I done been through it. I'm talking about free. Man, they free. Boy, lady bone connected in one of our services. Yeah, I seen demons leap off of young folk. In one of our services, I seen lumps jump off of people. I seen a lady right here at our church spit up cancer. Come on, various miracles I've seen, but it did not tap into the financial realm. All of that happened, but I did not receive the financial realm of prosperity as a result of my preaching. Money don't come by preaching. Money don't come by no other thing you do in the kingdom of God. The only way that you will receive from God the financial blessing he wants you to have is through sowing. That's the only thing God uses to get money to you, to me, is sowing. If you don't sow, you'll go into the next year with favor all over you without any manifestation. This thing that God has called us into is real. But it only becomes manifesto real when you practice the principle. And finances is a principle that the devil has tried to hinder the church from tapping into. Even as I am teaching right now, if you was honest and you told me what you was thinking, it would be objecting with what I'm saying. I've been in this a long time, and I know right now while I'm preaching, if you be honest, if the Holy Ghost shine a light and I can see all y'all thoughts, Paul, some of you saying, man, I wish you just quit now. I came to shout today. I came to have a good time today. Man, I come for the Lord to move today. Boy, he been moving in him. Folk been getting saved. Folk been getting delivered. And here's Pastor Carter just talking. Some of you thinking right now. Some of you, I can look at your expression on your face and see. You love me, but what I'm saying, you disagree with it right now. You love me now, but what I'm saying right now is disagreeing with your way of thinking. Because your way of thinking is a cultural thing. You've been taught this. And not by God. You've been taught this by someone else that didn't have the manifestation of the principles of God working in their life. So they taught you against money being taught in church. They taught me that. Money evil, they said. That's what they told us. Money is the root of all evil. They didn't quote the scripture right. They told us that. How many heard that before? Money is the root, and the Bible don't say that. The Bible says the love of money is what? The root of all evil. It's the love. It's what are you doing with your money? It's what tells you what your money is about. Whatever you do with it, it tells you what it is about. How much of your money go toward contributing toward providing good in the world? Look at your checkbook. Look at your bank statements. Look at your card receipts. Whatever you put your money towards, tell God what you value more. If God is nowhere in your check register, if God is nowhere on your bank account, you praise him, but you ain't got to that place where you really are loyal to him, because he's not reflected in your money. The Bible says wherever your treasure is, that's where your what? Your heart is. So if you can't see God nowhere registered in your life financially, you're just going through the motions. Okay? Put it like this. You love your children, right? Right? They own them banking receipts. Right? You love, if you love cars, how many, do I have any car lovers in here? They're on your own banking account receipt. Whatever you love, that's where you put your resources at. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Because somebody say, there's nothing wrong with that now. I'm not telling you that. No, no, no. If you love something, enjoy what you love. Well, check this out. Don't ever say you love God if he don't show up on your bank account statement. You can't say, I love you, Lord, and I won't take it back. Because you lying out of your teeth. Because you saying with your lips you love him, but you ain't showing no actions you love him.
All right.
I'm not talking about this to get an offering from you today. Because you give as, you know, we come in. So I'm not finna stand behind this podium and be like, well, I need y'all to sow. No, I'm teaching you the word of God, and the word of God is instructing you how to progress financially. The word of God is teaching you that. Now, it's no different than when they praise and worshiping, and when they ask you to respond to the song that they're singing. They can't make you respond. You have to respond willingly. If I made you respond to this offering, you won't get blessed. If I coerce you and promise you some stuff that God didn't tell me to tell you, you're not going to get blessed. If you gave and you was mad after you gave, you ain't going to get blessed. But if you respond simply because you obeying God, you'll get what Isaac got. If you respond simply because you obeying God. Notice, you don't tithe to be blessed. Write this down. You tithe because you're blessed.
Amen.
You hear somebody say, I don't tithe
to
be blessed.
I tithe
because I am blessed. That's why I do it. He sowed, he reaped 100 times more in the same year. And the Bible described him becoming prosperous, very prosperous, and ridiculously prosperous. He was so prosperous that the people got mad. They got upset. They was highly mad and upset with him. The preacher not looking at me. Come here. Come get this blessing, son. He got to be looking. Come get this blessing. See, that's a blessing right there. See, the blessing is on me while I'm teaching. Whatever you do interacting with me while I'm teaching, the blessing get on you. See, look at somebody say,
it's the anointing.
That makes the difference.
That makes the difference.
See, the blessing get on you when you make the exchange. Yeah. What kind of blessing I'm talking about? Material manifestation. I ain't talking about no spiritual. Come on. Look at somebody say, he ain't talking about no spiritual blessing. Tell somebody, say,
I got that.
Tell them, say, I need some material things
manifested
in my life. Watch this. Who can use another car? Okay. See that? Look, come on. Lift your hand. Don't come on. Lift your hands up if you can use another car. Who want a car? Okay. A truck. Okay. You want it? Y'all want it? See, listen. Now, God got a way for you to get it. I just told you how to get it. Guess what you got to do now? You got it? You need 3 more? You got them. Shoot. I know how you sold. You got them 3 vehicles, man. You see what I'm saying? Look at somebody say, who need a house? Look, come on. Lift your hands if you need a house. Lift your hand if you want a house. Now, listen. Now I want to ask you a question. Is that material stuff?
Yes.
So he told Isaac, listen, I'm going to bless you with some material. See, because Isaac did not have the gift of prophecy. Isaac did not have the gift of tongues. Isaac did not have the gift of healing. Isaac did not operate in none of the gifts that the Bible lists for the church to operate in. But boy, he had the gift of wealth. He broke the curse with a seed. Women, you know this, and I can say it because you know a seed breaks the cycle. Stop, y'all ain't gonna talk. Now listen, there are things that are happening in your life over and over and over. You going out of 1 year in poverty into another year in poverty, hanging on to poverty for that whole year, and nothing has been able to break that cycle. God said a seed will break that cycle. It'll break it. It will break the cycle of problems that been going on in your life, in your family for years. Look at somebody and say,
a seed will break it.
Yeah, it'll break it. It'll stop the cycle. Stop the cycle. See, poverty is not what you have and what you don't have. Poverty is the way you think. See, you want to break the way you think. You break the way you think when you're sowing a seed against all odds. Because at one time, when you had a need, you wouldn't sow a seed. And now your mind messing with you, saying, hey, you can't sow that because you got to do this. You got to tell your mind, I'm not listening to you today. I'm listening to the word of God. And the word of God say, sow my seed. So what are you doing? You getting your mind in line with your spirit. Now, instead of your mind dictating your life, you're letting your spirit dictate your life about your money. Because God says the favor on you. Now he wants the favor to manifest physically and materially. And look at somebody and say, there's nothing wrong with that. Now you're going to have some of your family members say, oh, it don't take all that. Ooh, what you need with four cars, they mine. Leroy Thompson, one of the apostles of faith, Leroy Thompson said, I got an air conditioner in my garage. And he said, I know some of y'all out there thinking, what he need an air conditioner in his garage for, and a heater in his garage? He said, because me and my wife have to go out there. Come on. Look at somebody and say, you can't let negative folk talk you out of your material blessing. Because they're going to start screaming in your ear, your cousin them, your auntie in them, your brother in them, your sister in them, and they're going to be getting, it don't take all that. Why you got to buy that expensive stuff? Because I want to. And then you tell them, check my tithing now. Check my seed sowing now. If you don't think I deserve it, look how I give to God. You getting mad because God blessing me? Check my record out. Check my seed out. Check how much I'm giving to God. Then you start judging me. They say no more. Sap suckers got mad and envious because my boy got a swag going on, man, around in there. Y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. Yeah. Boy, Isaac started getting him a swag on, man. Hallelujah. The Lord blessed him, man. He prospered and became very prosperous and then ridiculously prosperous. And then the boy started having cows and more donkeys and more silver and more gold. And now he's the man going on in town. And they say, boy, you growing so much, you got to get up out of here. Out of him, not here. Him, you got to go. That's what folk going to be telling you. Every time I see you, you buying something new. Yep. I'm blessed like that. Every time I see you, you talking about what you about to purchase, what kind of business you about to invest in, what kind of stock you about to invest in. Yep, every time you talk to them, I'm talking about increasing. I'm talking about being blessed. Why are you talking like that? Because out of the words of my mouth come death or life. I got to choose what kind of seed I'm going to sow in word form first. I got somebody to say, I'm favored.
I'm favored.
And I'm blessed.
And I'm blessed.
And tell me, I'm increasing.
More and more.
And more.
And
I'm ridiculously increasing.
More
and more. And more and more. Until somebody start talking negative about what God doing in my life. Come on, let's stand. I'm done. I had to take my time with that. Did y'all enjoy it?
Yes.
Yeah. I want somebody to start talking negative. When you hear them folk, they start talking negative, you say, oh, man, I'm here. I'm finally there to the point that they don't just disagree with my personality, they disagree with my way of life. And my way of life is a seed sowing life. That's how I live by my seed. Listen, oh, God, I just heard this from the Holy Ghost. I live by my seed, not my greed. My greed don't drive me. My seed drive me. See, the love of money is the root of all evil, because love in 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy 6, that word love for money is the word greed in the English. What is greed? It's when you allow money to dictate your passions. When you allow money to determine what you worship other than God. Because wherever your money is, that's what you bow down to every day. And if God is not the one that you've submitted your finances to and bowed to him and say, Father God, I worship you as my king. None other is important or deserving of this worship. It is you I give my whole life to. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Repeat after me. Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, I come now in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ, asking that you will receive my tithe, my seed that I sow above the tithe, allowing Malachi 3 and 10 to be in operation over my tithe after I have brought my tithe into your house, that there might be meat provided. In that, I prove that you are my God. And you shall open up the windows of heaven. Pour us out a blessing that we will not have room enough to receive it all. You shall rebuke the devourer, the seed eater, for my sake. Devil, you will not any longer eat up any seed I have intended to sow into the work of the Lord. From this day forward, I shall be responsible over my tithe and my seed. And Luke 6 and 38 shall begin to operate in my life, because after I have given, you shall give back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall you enable men or women or anyone that can be a blessing to me, so that I would be a blessing to others. And this I decree shall be my lifestyle during this season of triple favor. In Jesus' name, I decree that it is done. Amen. Come on, give God a praise if you believe it.